Welcome back to the Air Raid Podcast. It's unfortunately been a while. Haven't done an episode in, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
And we're back with episode 86, I believe. Damn. Myself, Jamie, and our very special guest, Kingston Eclipse, a.k.a. Kiss the Floor.
What's up, bruv? What's up, man? 86!
I think so, right?
Yeah.
Jerry's 85. Yeah, it must be 86. We honestly would be at 100 by now. If we just
went lazy.
Yeah. If we weren't lazy.
Slacking, bro. We've been doing this, what, like 2 and a bit years now?
What was it, November 2022? Oh, yeah, we'd definitely be at like 100 by now. If we had gone like every week.
That's a mush.
But thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, nah, all good, man. All good.
Got a simple question that we ask everyone, which is, how's your week? So, Thursday right now. Mm. How's your week been so far?
I would say like Monday to Tuesday was alright, but yesterday and today, fuck, bro, I'm caught up in a bit of controversy. Eh?
Ooh.
Yeah, bro. There's a guy, he's similar to me, but like, if someone confronts him, bro, he sacks it, meaning like he drops nuts.
Keyboard warrior.
Yeah, so yeah. He's more like a keyboard warrior.
Damn.
Do we want a name drop?
Steven said to you, dumb cunt.
Fuck.
This guy, bro, like, it came to my attention, bro, that, like, my inner circle, there's a snake in my inner circle.
Jeez,
yeah, bro. Yeah. I started dishing him all these private issues that I had.
No, mm, oh, that's...
And then I was like, fuck, bro. And then he aired it out. Then I was like, shit, everybody came for me. I admitted it, that I fucked up.
Mm.
And then it was just a lousy way of trying to get at me.
A cheap way, really.
It was a fucking cheap way, bro. Like, there's a thing going around for like content creator versus content creator, like in a boxing match.
Yeah, influencer boxing matches.
So it was meant to be a boxing match, and he put the word out there. He was like, who would you guys like to see? Like, this is from his content. Mm, mm. Who would you like to see in a content versus content boxing match? And then going through his comments section, it's me versus him.
Real shit.
Or him versus Usgang.
Oh.
If you guys know Usgang.
Yeah, of course, bro.
And then, but majority of the comments were me versus him. So then I made a post and I was like, let's square up, man. Like, I've been chasing you for a couple years.
Shit.
And then that was yesterday, and then today he dropped that video that I was kind of pissed off, bro, because like I trusted my inner circle.
Mm, mm.
And then for that to come out, and yeah, bro, it was just kind of makes me want to, like, because I know he lives out west.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
so I'm,
yeah,
like, anybody know any info on his address? Nah, fuck up. I don't condone violence, all right? Only in the ring.
An course, influencer, New Zealand influencer boxing event would go so
bro,
hard.
I'm not even going to lie, though. So low-key, over the past 2 weeks, all I've been seeing on, like, Instagram and TikTok is New Zealand creators stepping out other New Zealand creators. And I low-key would be keen to set up, like, a boxing match for, like, creator versus creator. That would be so fun to do and just, like, settle this beef, because like low-key New Zealand's like supposed to be a happy place, bro, not supposed to be like beefing, so we should like
get everyone to settle out.
Bro, that'd be so funny, getting maybe like Usgang on the card as well. That'd be pretty funny.
Windwolf has been doing some boxing training.
I saw that. I don't know who would box, though. Wynn's not a very violent person either. He's quite a
he's very, very, very nice. I don't mean
very humble.
He would he's very, very nice and kind.
Yeah. That's pretty shit, though. Like, that kind of makes you reassess your inner circle, though.
Of course, bro. Like, I'm going to have to, like, tighten up my inner circle, like, my bumhole, bro. Like, fuck.
And especially, like, for me at this age, bro, I wouldn't expect that kind of shit, you know? Like, and I'm only 22, bro, or 21. Like, I think to myself, I'm like, fuck, that's kind of like high school shit, if you ask me. Like, having a snake, bro. Like,
fuck, yeah.
I don't know.
Bring him into the wrestling ring.
Yeah, but, like...
Boxing.
Boxing will be better, bro.
Are you a fan of boxing? Like, you boxing UFC or?
It's a bit of a mix-up. Boxing, MMA, kickboxing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, like, I transitioned from that to pro wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
what was your kind of inspiration to go towards pro wrestling?
I think with me, like growing up, like with every Polynesian boy, or like growing up in a poly household, wrestling was on the TV all the time. And like with me growing up, it's always been at the back of my mind, like I want to try it when I get older.
Yeah.
So while I'm playing footy, crump, yes, I used to dance as well. And I went into MMA, boxing, kickboxing. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, fuck, I just want to, I wonder if I'll be good at pro wrestling.
Yeah.
So like, there was an intake at one of these schools in Auckland. And out of 15, I was the only one that made it, but I made it because I looked different, not because I was fit. I think with me, because like at that time in my early 20s, I was like the only Polynesian that was fully tatted. And it's rare to see a Polynesian at that time fully tatted up. They'll normally have their traditional tattoos like around the arm or around the forearm, and that's it. So when I came through and they saw me, they're like, oh, what are you? I go, I'm Samoan. They're like, I've never seen a Samoan like that before. I was like, fuck. So then, yeah, but like out of 15 guys, I was the only one that made it. And then, yeah, been in the game for 10 plus years.
Shit, that's a long time. Yeah, that way.
I mean, like if COVID never came along, it would have been like over 10 years, 10, 12, maybe 13 years. But then since COVID came and I couldn't fly out and do my shows overseas and get my money, then I had to go venture off into other things like acting and performing in arts. And this is where Crystal Floor came in.
Shit. So being in the pro wrestling industry for like almost 10 years now, you've probably seen a lot of faces come and go from the scene. Do you find that you struggle with a lot of like newcomers beefing with you for like no reason when they don't kind of know their place?
I think you get a lot of those people or a lot of those wrestlers where their ego is way bigger than themselves. And there's a lot of like old timers, they value their spot. So when they see like another up and comer coming up through the ranks and like he's the next big thing in their company, some of the OGs, they like to try and
test them a bit.
Yeah, like test them a bit, or like venture, like try and push them off to like not the hot spot, or not the top spot. Because there's a lot of guys like they value their spot so much that like they think being a champ, like I am the real champ. I'm like, nah, brother, it's just the belt got slapped on you because you can put asses on seats. But some of these people were like, when they become champ, they think like, oh, bro, I'm the toughest guy. I'm the guy. I'm like, yeah, you're the guy, but you ain't tough, brother.
He needs to be humble.
I don't know much about wrestling personally. Are there like weight divisions in wrestling?
There is, I think it's similar to like the Western wrestling where there's these heavyweights and cruiserweights. But I think in New Zealand, it's round about the same. But I think pretty much all the wrestlers in New Zealand are heavyweights.
Your last fight is against Zach, right?
Yes, Zach Hill.
I was lucky enough to go to that.
Oh, yeah.
I managed to just see it. We were at the same event. I was Kurt's hype man. Crowd hated me. Crowd did not like me. But I managed to just come in for your fight.
Yeah.
I saw you backstage, and I really wanted to say hi to you because I was with Kurt. I'm like, oh my God, that's the guy that's going to be in my podcast in a couple of weeks. I really wanted to say hi. But you were like, you know, walking up and down the hall. Like,
in the zone.
I'm like, yeah, I'm not interrupting.
Don't want to get in front of this kid.
I went back to the crowd and I managed to watch your fight. You come out, tried to bite the guy's ear. I'm like, oh.
Pulling Mike Tyson, eh? Shit.
It was a good fight, though. It was actually really good.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you did what you had to do. What was it like in the moment of that fight? How many fights have you done at the... Do you know what number you're at right now? Like shows in front of a big audience?
Uncountable.
Nah, I think I stopped counting after 5 years.
So you're probably kind of used to the crowd, right?
Yeah. Yes. I think anything to do with the crowd, like either wrestling or like acting or whatever, being in front of a crowd, I'm never nervous, but like I have my moments where I am nervous, but then like especially with wrestling, like as soon as I step out of that curtain, bro, like, fuck, I'm the man.
Mm. You learn how to work a crowd.
Yeah, you learn, yeah.
Yeah.
So just from like seeing, obvious, like, I don't know fuck all about it, but seeing like Kurt going into wrestling and stuff, one thing I've noticed, Kurt isn't, just from seeing, he isn't the crowd favorite. And is that because he's new, or
the crowd hated us, bro?
Yeah, but like, why? Is that because he's new into the industry?
I think Kurt told me that the person, I think it also depends on who he's fighting, because I think the person that Kurt was fighting was from there, if I'm correct.
Oh, his hometown was Marmaduke.
Kurt, the guy we had on our podcast not too long ago, Sonny.
Yeah.
Kurt fought Sonny in that same arena, and I know Sonny was the favorite. I think if I'm, as much as Kurt is my best friend, I think every single event I've gone to, I think Kurt is just not the favorite.
And is that just because of the crowd, or is that because of like, that's the,
I mean,
way that they want it portrayed?
Kurt is, he's pretty fresh, right? He's pretty fresh to the scene.
Yeah, yeah.
I know he's been talking about it for years, but he's pretty fresh to the event, so I think he's not as known. But give it a few years, and I'm sure it'll be different.
Okay.
Yeah, when I did that event with him, and I go back to the crowd, my mate Kay, like, put your hat on. This crowd hates you. So like,
you got balls, bro, to go back to the crowd, man. I wanted to stay backstage, man.
Bro, I was watching your clip, and you're like hyping him the fuck up, and the crowd's just booing you, and I'm like, holy shit, bro! If that was happening to me, I would like run the fuck off and like never come back. I'd be like, fuck this, man! They hate me. I never want to be right here.
I look back at the footage show as soon as, because I remember looking back as I was walking out. I turned to the crowd. I was like, Kurt's the number one.
Oh god!
I go backstage. Kurt daps me. I was like, bro, that was awesome. I'm like, I can't go back.
Bro, I can't show my face.
Bro, and on top of that, you were hungover as well.
Yeah.
Hungover too, bro.
It was my birthday. I never drink. So it was my birthday the night before. Had a party. Had a few drinks.
A few?
It was, yeah, it wasn't pretty.
A few? Motherfucker, you almost finished a bottle of Malibu.
Yeah. And I wake up the next morning. First time I think I've ever got a hangover. I'm like spewing up in the toilet. This is not happening. And then I'm like lying down on the floor in the lounge. I'm like, oh, this is not happening. And then I get a call from Kurt. I'm like, hello, are you ready for this? I'm like, oh, yeah, bro.
The highlight of your party would definitely be when you were talking to those Korean people in the lounge. And you kept saying, I've played these games before, and I kept handing you your drink. So Cade came up to me, and he's like, Phoenix needs a drink. And I'm like, okay, sweet. I poured it, and then Cade's like, stronger, put more in, stronger, put more in. I probably put like 3/4 full of Malibu, and then, yeah, put a little bit of like Sprite in it.
Talking to the
juice.
Did you know that?
Me and Cade, and I said to Cade, is it strong enough? He's like, yeah, it's good enough. And I kept handing it to you, and you were just sculling it back. You're like, oh, shot, bro, you're the man. This is mean as.
I don't remember this, but someone told me we've got like a giant nutcracker.
Oh, God.
Someone
yeah.
told me that I was playing beer pong. I didn't have a partner, so I grabbed a giant nutcracker, and I was like patting him on the back, like, no, we got this.
You got one ball at one point, and then you're like, yeah, we're such a good fucking team. And you turn to the nutcracker and go daps him up, and I'm like, you are fucked, man. Yeah. That was such a good night. Good times.
Shit. Oh, well. Moving on. I want to ask you about your social media, but before we do, we've got this segment called Movie of the Week.
Movie of the Week.
Yeah, so we spin a wheel to choose what movie we're going to watch. And the movie we're supposed to talk about was a film called The Campaign. But I'm going to scratch that because there's a massive movie out right now that's just become a huge meme. I don't know if anybody's seen the Minecraft movie.
Bro, I want to go see it so badly.
I haven't seen that one, no.
I've seen it twice now.
Twice?
First screening I went to was normal. There was normal people there. The second screening I went to was normal. With my girlfriend and my girlfriend's sister. I don't know if you've seen videos online. There's this one scene in the movie where this character, Jack Black, he yells out, chicken jockey, and the whole cinema just...
I saw that one, yeah.
So I went to a cinema thinking that this would be normal to watch, and they're like, what, 12 teenagers in the back, and as soon as the character says chicken jockey, they just get up and scream, and yell, chicken jockey, and someone was throwing popcorn, and it landed on someone's wife, and this big guy comes up, goes up to the like 14-year-old kid and he goes, you hit my wife. Don't want me to punch you in the face. And my girlfriend was stressing out, and I'm sitting there with my popcorn.
This is another movie on itself, bro.
he goes and gets the security. Security comes in, and they're like complaining. There's like a back and forth. I'm not even.
Where's this at? Sylvia Park?
No, this was. I've never been to the cinemas before. It was in Devonport. Just as like small indie theater.
Jesus Christ.
Like an independent theater. And I'm just like, this is.
I know there's a scene in that film where they say water bucket release, and apparently a lot of people are like. Throwing their like drinks just in the air.
Like the videos are funny online.
Yeah, like
far out.
The videos are funny online, but I also feel bad for the
there's this content creator in Australia. He's like a autistic 18-year-old kid. He has a mum who documents like his day-to-day life to fundraise money for awareness and stuff like that. He went to the Minecraft movie and a lot of people recognized him because she has like 6-7 million followers online. Yeah. Big John, I think her name is. He went to the Minecraft movie and they like just started pouring like drinks all over him and like popcorn.
Did he like it though? Or was it like a bully thing?
It was like a bully thing. He came back. They had to leave the movie early and they're like, what the fuck? Like this isn't on, bro. Like,
people are, like, it's just because it's become a meme. You know when it's like a trend?
Oh, one funny video where people are throwing popcorn and drinks in the air now. Everybody wants to do it.
It's all for like laughing in a cinema, but like being disrespectful like that, like on top of that, the workers have to clean that shit up. They don't give me enough for that, bro. Like,
Someone bought a real, because it's about a chicken, obviously, chicken jockey. And a recent video came out today where someone actually snuck a chicken into the field and was like holding it up. wait, I'll see if I can find the clip before we go. I'll find the clip.
Chicken jockey. yeah.
That'd be pretty. Funny. Just bring in a live chicken as well. That'd
I'll
be
go
fun,
on Twitter
crazy.
And I'll probably be the first thing that pops up. I need to find it.
Oh mate,
it was.
The Minecraft movie I really want to go see, but I'm probably going to
wait for a bit, man.
Maybe even wait till it comes out like just on Netflix or something so I can watch it at home rather than like, I don't want to deal with teenagers being immature.
This is, let me see if I can find it. I'll just search up chicken. It's like, it became a huge clip just today.
Damn, bro. I'm surprised how much it's blown up as well. I thought it would actually be like kind of a flop. But it surprisingly has turned out well.
I actually did like the movie, though, to be fair. There's all these clips going around. Oh, let me search up real chicken. Hang on.
Insane.
Real chicken in cinema, maybe. It actually is a good movie, though. I can't lie. I did like it.
And most of it was filmed down in Huntly, eh?
Yeah, it was all filmed in New Zealand. So, damn, bro. Watch this clip. They're going crazy. Watch this. Someone's got up holding up a real chicken. See, look, he's holding a real chicken.
Bro, that's crazy.
Fuck. Oh, true.
People are like getting kicked out of cinemas and stuff.
Bro, that was like when the Despicable Me 4 movie came out and everyone pulled up in suits. Do you remember
that
trend?
Yeah.
Everyone's like, me and the boys going to see Despicable Me 4. That was a pretty funny meme. That was better than.
That's actually, like, Minecraft movie's going to make a lot of money now just because of that meme.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, we'll see.
What a day.
We'll see. I want to ask about your videos that you do. I think they're real good. Interesting. Like, what got you started into just doing like Instagram reels and stuff? I see you doing a lot of like things that happen in real life, talking about them, some skits and stuff.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
I think that this sprung when I couldn't wrestle anymore. Yeah. I mean, like when I couldn't fly out due to COVID. So and like with wrestling in New Zealand, like I couldn't get into certain feds or do certain shows because of that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Vax and unvax kind of thing. So then I started talking shit on my phone. And then some of the ideas will come from like my other workmates, like their stories, like they say in a fobby way, like broken English. So then I'll try and use that in a skit. So it's just me and my twin. So me as the Kiwi-born Samoan, and then my twin would be the fob. So he'll be the one with the broken English and stuff like that. So like all the stories that I hear from my workmates, I try and use that as a skit. After a while, like I noticed there was a lot of Polynesian content creators that were doing skits, being funny. So you had your Usgangs, your Terrell Tuffers, mm-hmm. and all that.
Terrell Tuffers like a day one.
Nah, man. Nah, can't compare, man. Like, yeah. So you had all those top dogs in that field. But then I ventured off into like talking about like taboo topics within the Polynesian community. Stuff that like gets swept under the rug. Mm-hmm. And I thought I'd be that dumb cunt that'll talk about it and bring it out into light. When I became that bad guy, all the Polynesians started hating on me. They're saying like, oh, you don't understand, you don't know what you're talking about, you're not from the island, you're born here. So I got a lot of shit for that, but then I just kept going with it. From the taboo topics, I ventured off to like current affairs. I'll read some of the articles from like the Herald, or I have like a quick read of it, and then I'll just, if Christopher was a news anchor, how would he say it? I'll be like, on my phone, I'll be like, you know this motherfucker right here, you know this dumb cunt, and like, I think everybody, their reaction to it was like, bro, like, we'll rather listen to you, because you're just straight to the point, mm.
No fucking around.
No fuck around, yeah. And when I started doing that kind of content, like, people started reaching out to me and saying like, oh, can you talk about this is what happened with my family, and it's still unresolved. Mm-hmm. And then I think with being that kind of person in the Polynesian community, hardly anybody wants to collab with you, because they don't want their reputation or their image to be tainted because you collabing with Christopher Law, which is the at that time I was the controversial Polynesian coming out. Mm. And then now you got this cunt named Stephen Setu, where he thinks he's the Polynesian controversial figure. Mm. When really, like, he's just a battle rapper. He was doing skits while I was doing all the Ugly Truth content, and then I think he made the switch because he noticed that I was getting a lot of interactions or like a lot of traction from like good or bad. So I think that's when he ventured off from doing the skits. He had a break, then he came back, and then he was like, he brought out this content where he was telling everybody like, fuck your feelings, and he was saying it to all the men, like, fuck, stop crying, cunt, because you're a bitch, and all that kind of stuff. And all the men, everybody that was involved around mental health, they were like, bro, you don't know what you're on about. Mm. Some of these men, bro, they need to talk. Some of these men, they need
someone to vent
like,
to, bro.
Yeah, like someone to lean on. Or
express their emotions.
To, yeah.
Shoulder to cry on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you got this cunt saying like, oh, fuck your feelings, bro. Fuck, because you're a dumb cunt. And then, yeah, I think he thought like that would get him like, that'll gain him the title of like the controversial figure. But everyone just looked at him like, bro, you don't know what you're on about. You're trying to talk about like being a parent when you're not even a fucking parent. Mm. Like those kind of things, bro. And then
putting his two cents into topics that he actually has no experience in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where Christopher Law came in, where I was just from Kingston Eclipse the wrestler to Christopher Law the social media guy. Mm. Yeah, it all stemmed from COVID when I couldn't fly out. Yeah.
Do you find that now that you have kind of shifted direction in the social media scene, that you still kind of get a bad rep for the things you've said in the past?
Yeah. That's the power of social media, bro. Like, whatever you say, it's on the internet forever. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter like if you said those things or if you did those content and then maybe like a couple months later you're doing something good, but that's still on your coattail. Mm-hmm. Especially with the name Christopher Law, like, doesn't matter how many good deeds I do within the community, like, oh, he's the guy that's talking shit about the Samoan community. Mm-hmm. Whereas like with me, I'm only talking shit because it's not being addressed. It's been passed down from generation to generation, where like people will just sweep it under the rug, and then that family will think it's just normal.
Yeah.
But from the outside looking in, I'm like, bro, that's not normal, bro. You're a slave.
Mm-hmm. Where do you see the future of Kiss the Floor within the next like couple of years? Do you see it expanding much, or
I think with me, I just take it as it comes, bro. So, like, with the brand, Crystal Floor, like, it's already, I don't know, like, there's already hype in itself, especially in the Polynesian community. Like, everybody knows Crystal Floor as the loudmouth guy. But I think, like, in a few years' time, I don't know where I see myself, man, with the name Crystal Floor. I know it'll be trademarked, I know for sure. But, like, I think everybody, it's funny because, like, no one knew me as Kingston Eclipse, the wrestler.
Mm.
Everybody knew me as Crystal Floor, the social media guy. Okay. So then when they found out that I did wrestling, they're like, oh, are you just starting off? I was like, bro, I've been in the game for like 10 plus years, bro. OG, bro.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
How'd you come up with the name?
Oh, the name Crystal Floor. Fuck. Yeah. So this is like me paying homage to my grandmother.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, it's everyone's like, what? Crystal Floor, your grandmother? And I was like, there was a time when I flew back to Samoa, and my grandmother, she owned a shop at her village. And like, because she's so fluent in Samoan, but I'm not. So she's asking me to go grab something, and I'm like, I don't know what you're on about. And he was like, my grandmother would be like telling me something, and then I'm like looking at her, but my hand is like this. You want this? No. You want this? And she was like, Leai. Leai means no. And then she, I think she got pissed off. She was like, you want to kiss the floor? So kiss the floor means you want to hiding. Oh. You want me to knock you out? And that's, I think that's a common phrase in the Polynesian community. Like sometimes it'll be kiss the floor, or do you want to be kissing the floor? It's common. So like me taking that phrase, it was just me paying homage to my grandmother.
Yeah.
And then like when people ask me like the same question, they always think like it's in regards to like wrestling, or like is that a name from one of your finishing move or whatever? I'm like, nah. So when I tell them that story, they're like, what the what? Kiss the floor from your grandmother? Bruh. Never would have expected that.
What would you say, like, out of all of your fights, what would you say has been, like, your biggest match? Like, your biggest wrestling fight?
That's a toss-up, man, because it's between Shelton Benjamin and Chavo Guerrero.
Okay, how long ago were those fights?
These ones were when I was in my early 20s, so I think when I was, like, around 24, 25 at the time.
Shit.
Shelton Benjamin was holding a seminar in Sydney. And like, because I was so into my game, into wrestling, I was finding any way to level up.
Mm.
So then when I caught wind about Shelton doing a seminar in Sydney, I booked a ticket and flew straight away. As soon as I got there, did the seminar, Shelton liked what I had. We exchange emails, and then he goes, bro, like, we got, I'm going to give you three options. It's Ring of Honor, Reality of Wrestling, which is Booker T's promotion,
mm-hmm.
or you can come with me and we go to Pro Wrestling Noah. And I was like, bro, fuck. all those options, bro, they're way too big for me, bro. Like, I've never had those. I've never been in that position before. So then I asked him, like, oh, what do you prefer? And he goes, oh, you come with me, I'll take you under my wing and we go to Japan. I was like, fuck.
Shit.
Yeah. And he paid for my flight too and everything.
Damn.
Like, fuck.
How long were you in Japan for?
3 months.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So I went there. But this was crazy, bro, because, like, I went to Japan, Pro Wrestling Noah, and then I asked the promoter, I was like, oh, can you watch my match? Feedback after? He's like, yeah, okay. So I go do my debut match, came backstage, bro. I'm like hyped.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, Jado-san. Okay, Jado-san, feedback. He was like, oh, wrestling. Okay, yeah, oh yeah, very gay. I'm like, fuck, what? Very gay. Okay, what? He's like, it's, I don't believe. I go, oh, fuck. He goes, your strike, very gay. I'm like, oh, fuck. Your chop. very gay. I go, fuck. He goes, oh, me, you, dojo, tomorrow. I go, okay. So then, when it came to the next day, I went to the dojo, and then he's waiting for me in the ring. And he was like, okay, pick a corner. So I picked the corner, and he was like, okay, chop. So chop the turnbuckle. Mm-hmm. So I chopped it, and he's like, again. I go, chop, again. I go, chop, again. I'm like, fuck. And he goes, this hand, make it look like a shield, and then your chop is like a sword. So every strike you do is like you're in combat. And I was like, oh wow, fuck. And he goes, okay, again. Okay, fuck. So I'm like this for like half an hour. Then my hand was getting all red, blistered up. He was like, okay, other side. So I'm like, fuck. And I think like with Jaro-san, he taught me the Japanese strong style of wrestling. So when I left New Zealand to go to Japan to make my debut, I was wrestling like all the stompings, and to me, I thought that was normal. That was wrestling. But when I went to Japan, they broke me. They broke my whole style, my whole character. And when I learned that style and I brought it back to NZ, no one wanted to fuck with me. Everybody thought I was just there to like give someone a hiding. And I think at that time when I came back, strong style wasn't as popular as it is now. So when I came back and did the style, they were like, nah, we don't want to book you.
Oh.
I was like, fuck. And like my whole, because you have to know, bro, like pro wrestling in Japan, it's treated like another form of martial art. It's respected. So like when you're wrestling in front of the crowd in Japan, they sit and watch. Every big move you do, they clap, and then they're all quiet. And like when I compare that, those kind of crowds to like Australia and New Zealand, it's way different.
Sure.
I think like with wrestling in New Zealand at that time, it was just more showy, more entertainment.
Do you think that the wrestling scene in New Zealand is getting bigger over the years?
If I was, because the only reason I know about the wrestling scene in New Zealand is because my mate Kurt, he introduced me to it. I've been watching the events and I love it.
Yeah.
I personally think it's slowly like growing, getting big.
Yeah, yeah.
If I didn't know Kurt, I don't think I would know about it.
Yeah.
But I think more and more people are getting into it, seeing it.
Yeah. Well, I hadn't even heard of it till Kurt as well, to be honest. But I just like, I always had the persona that wrestling was just this thing that like Americans do, and it's the WWE with John Cena and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I don't know. I always kind of perceived it like just as something that happens over there, not really
not
here.
Over here. Yeah,
yeah. And then as soon as Kurt told me about it, I'm like, what the
fuck? I didn't
fuck
realize how massive it is in Japan too. Because every guest we've had that does wrestling, they're always like Japan.
Yeah, isn't it like an old form of martial arts there? Yeah.
I've heard the training is like very intense.
Fuck, it's intense, bro.
Shit.
Compared to like wrestling, training in NZ. Nah.
So are there any other cultures or countries within the world that respect wrestling as much as Japan does? Or
yeah, you got like the Nacho Libre. Oh, Nacho Libre. What the fuck? The
Mexican
wrestlers.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, fuck, Nacho Libre. Fuck.
Jack Black.
Yeah, Jack Black. Yeah.
Wait,
that movie.
I know of it.
Yeah, there's different forms of pro wrestling in different countries. Like you got Japan, where it's the strong style of wrestling, where it's real hard impact. Then you got like the lucha style in Mexico, where they do all the flips and everything like that. And then you got UK, where they're more technical.
Oh, UK as well.
UK as well.
Do they just like wrestle with knives or something?
Nah, it's more they're more. It's all about technique.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they're all about the grappling and the ground game of pro wrestling, where they're all about the submission holds. Like I don't know if you know, like William Regal. I don't know if you know.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm an old fart, bro. Fuck. Nah, but like yeah, like UK wrestling is more technical. So every country has their own little style of wrestling, and I think with NZ, like we just tend to pick some of these ideas from different countries and mold it into ours.
Yeah, what would you say is, like, if everyone was to have their own kind of style, what would you say is the most predominant style in New Zealand?
Strong style.
Strong style? Okay, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I know there's an event coming April 26th, Hamilton. I know it got announced. Are you fighting on it?
Oh, yes.
You are?
Yeah. I've been approached. They're like, hey, you wanna... I was like, fuck, yeah, we'll be doing it. They're like, in Huntley. I was like...
Huntley, ho.
How far away is it from here?
Maybe
from the city center, like an hour 10,
yeah,
20.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Yeah, I'll be there.
From mine and Pookie, it takes like 40 minutes to drive to Huntley.
Oh, you want to come watch? I'll be there.
Okay, yeah,
I'll be there.
Huntley, I've only ever been once.
Capital. I don't think I've STD actually Capital. Ever been, to be honest. I don't think I've ever been. But so you are fighting on it.
We can give me a Sheila there, bro.
Pardon?
Give me a Sheila in Hamilton.
Get you a Sheila. Well, don't forget, we've still got one last segment that we'll get to before we close off. So maybe you can help with this. We've got one segment that we love to do. We always love to kind of get to the end of the segment. It's called Jamie's Love Life segment.
Jamie.
So every week we get like updates on his love life, whether he's on his
end. Gee, this week's been pretty good. This week has...
What's his name?
Phoenix, we're actually coming out as a couple. What? Nah, so this week's been good on... this past 2 weeks been good on the Tinder. Had three matches.
All right.
Got about 3 or 4, like, messages in. And then they just, like, never messaged back.
But they responded at one point.
Yeah, at one point. So I'm just kind of hoping that, like, maybe their phone died or something. They'll message back eventually. I'm sure.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Do you have any advice for him?
Yeah, I need any advice, bro. I've been single as a Pringle for almost 4 years. Nah, 3 years.
Whoa, what?
Yeah. Fuck. I've been...
Like, so how old were you when you...
broke up with my ex? Yeah. Oh, I was 19. Okay. 19, or I just turned 19.
Three something.
And I'm all about to turn 22 in like a week and a bit.
Mm. Got any advice?
Are you fluent in any other language?
No, I'm learning a couple of languages though. I'm like trying to learn like Te Reo Māori, and I know a little bit of Japanese, but like compared to other people who know Japanese, I'm like dog shit. I should know like a couple of words. But yeah, nah, not really. I know a bit of sign language, but that's not got like...
Bro, that'd be weird, bro. Like if you fuck someone and they only do sign language, man.
Bro, you pull up to the club,
this means I'm moaning.
Pull up to the club and you start like doing sign language. They think you're just like throwing up gang signs or something.
Wasn't there like a video where like someone, I don't know if it was a Travis Scott or some Drake concert, there's like a sign language person and the performer thought that she was like dancing, so he was like doing it with her, but he didn't realize it was sign language.
No.
I remember during COVID there was the translator who was doing sign language, and I don't know, there's this Māori creator, I can't remember his name at the moment, but he posted and he's like, damn bro, the government's like gone gang affiliated, they've thrown up like gang signs on the fucking COVID announcements. Oh, bro, what the hell, like. That was pretty good. At the moment my love life's been pretty dry. Trying to get out there as much as possible, but the fish don't seem to bite.
Did you hook up with like a friend of yours a few weeks ago? Was that the last update?
Yeah, that was the last update. That was like probably a month, maybe even two ago now. Been a while. But that was just a...
What goals are we going to have towards getting better?
Damn, bro. I want a girlfriend by the end of the year. That's my goal, but I said that last year and that wasn't too successful. Nah, so, it's a new year, a new me. We're willing to aspire to our goals. We're thriving. We're striving. And, yeah. Hopefully I find me a missus, but... I'm not too stressed about it though. Like I've always heard that people said like, don't try look for a missus because then you won't find one.
Oh yeah, and I heard that one.
Yeah, so like I'm just trying not to find a missus, and then I'm just hoping that someone will turn up, which probably won't happen. But like,
what are you looking on Tinder?
Yeah, I'm on Tinder. Or are you looking elsewhere as well? I'm on Tinder, Hinge, Bumble, Grindr. Nah, not that one. I'm on Grad. That's where I met this guy. On Grad 3.
And then we started a podcast.
Nah, but yeah, no, I'm on all the dating apps. Just, that's so shit, bro. Like, you can only do like 30 likes and then you have to pay. And then if someone likes you, you have to pay to see who likes you. But then that's not a match. So I'm just like, that's a fucking waste of money. And then on Hinge, which is the only good one, you get like 5 likes. Mm. So
oh, I never got likes on Hinge.
No, neither. And then Bumble, which you get, you, your advice. Your advice. You walked Bumble, into that.
My bad.
You told me to go on Bumble, right?
Yeah.
Bro, Bumble is as dry as the Amazon desert, bro.
Bumble.
Okay, that's you. Me, dry as the Sahara Desert, bro. I could honestly go into a club and there'd be more liquor on the floor than fucking Bumble.
I like Bumble because the girl has to message first. Or at least it's how it used to be.
Gee, Gap, that if the girl had to message me first on anything, bro, I'd be single for the rest of my life.
You know how you said like you get a certain amount of likes and you can actually pay for super likes?
Yeah.
So I paid a super like to get my girlfriend. So
How many super likes did you send beforehand?
I can't remember, bro. Long time ago.
That's a good answer for a question.
But we're coming to the end of our session in the studio. One little small thing is goal of the week. So like
goal of the
week
could
be something small, like putting the rubbish out. Could be something massive, like finish this project. What's your goal of the week?
Oh, my goal of the week would be to fuck. You put me on the spot, G. Shit.
Bro, my goal of the week is to finish the week.
I think that's my goal of the week.
That's a good one.
I've been training my boss. So like, there's a new employee and he's becoming my boss and I have to train him. Yeah, so it's been one of those weeks where you just don't even want to fucking go to work.
Oh, don't worry about that. I feel that. to be honest.
Yeah, I'm just gonna have to go with that then. Fuck. That was a good one, dude. That was basic, simple. Yeah.
Just finish the week.
Finish the week off strong.
Maybe even go to the gym on Friday tomorrow.
Finish it off strong.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Do you have a quick line of inspiration to all your fans out there?
Little final quote for the audience.
Oh yeah, fuck you.
Thank you guys. Have a good week, eh?